morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It's time to grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax so we can chat about what is happening up in the stars above. It's the weekend, or it's Friday. And of course, it is the third Friday of the month, and I have my friends with me today, Pia and Colin. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Always happy to be here.
We love these conversations.
I know. I actually put in the write-up, the promo of the show today. Who knows where we'll go? We just never know. We never know. In fact, we didn't have you on as guest this morning, there wouldn't have been much to talk about. It's a quiet weekend in terms of the astrology. And I think partially that is because we have the next 2 weeks after this that are a little bit crazy with eclipses and the spring equinox and, other transit type things that are going on. And of course, the gateway to the next eclipse, which is a big eclipse, at least for the United States. So it's kind of crazy the last 2 weeks. So maybe we deserve a little bit of a break.
Well, you did ask us to bring some insight about the collective shadow cycle that's coming up the second eclipse. So we have a few things to fill in the conversation with.
That is awesome, because I looked at our calendar for April and we wouldn't meet until we would already be midway through the shadow cycle. So it's a good time today to actually talk about what that means and so forth. I thought I'd start with breathing. Today seems like a good day for breath, doesn't it?
We definitely need to breathe, because we have a lot going on personally, interpersonally, collectively, on the planet. Any angle you want to look at, we've got a lot going on.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend last night. Actually, I wasn't talking to her. She just suddenly started messaging me and telling me all about these dreams that she's been having. She said every animal, like if you have an animal dream sometimes, like you could just go to a shamanic dictionary and kind of look up the animal and see what the symbology is. But literally she had all kinds of animals in her dreams and all kinds of weird situations going on. And she's a reflector in human design. So she has a lot of openness and takes in a lot of what's happening for the collective. And I was just shocked by the number of things, symbols that were going on in her dreams. And I'm, wondering, maybe some of you out there listening could tap in and tell us about your dreams. I literally haven't had many dreams. How about you guys?
Well, I'm the wrong person to ask, because I have absolutely no dream recall.
Wow. I wonder why that is, Colin.
I think all his energy goes into daytime visions, because he has magnificent prescient visions.
I talked to somebody once years ago about this, a really famous
dream expert,
a Jungian analyst, a shamanic master, a dream analyst, this really famous guy. I had to badger him for a year to get an appointment with him, because a friend of mine said, you need to talk to this guy. You two have so much in common and you would just enjoy sitting with him. And so I made a professional appointment with him, and his Swiss secretary gatekeeper kept putting me off. And I ended up sending him a funny postcard every day for a year, I swear. And finally, apparently she gave in and said, okay, you can have an appointment. And it was so many months in advance. I went to see this guy and we talked about lots of things, but we talked about the fact that I don't dream, or I don't recall my dreams.
Yeah.
And he said pretty much what Pia just said. He said, you don't have any need to. He said, you get everything you need in your waking state, and the visions you have are like what other people would call a dream. And so I can't answer anything about dreams, except that when people tell me their dreams, believe it or not, I'm a really good dream interpreter. Your turn, Pia.
Well, I've long ago stopped having the dreams that are the subconscious working out its difficulties. Those have gone away a long time ago. Mostly the dreams that I have now are either prescient dreams where I can see a potential of something that's coming, or totally puzzling and I don't understand where I am because everything looks somewhat familiar, but I know I've never been there. I go over and over again to the same cities, the same houses, the same group of people, but I don't know any of these people in real life. Sometimes I come back with headaches, battle scars, cuts and bruises. Sometimes I know that I'm going into parallel dimensions doing something, but that has increased. That type of dream for me has increased. So yes, they're getting stranger.
And yeah. And as we talk to people around the world on an everyday basis, people are telling us that their dreams are getting stranger, more complicated, more vivid, more lucid dreaming going on. So I think collectively, pretty much everybody's dreams are changing and becoming more intense.
Yeah. Or disappearing. I mean, I used to have intense dreams all the time, and now they're rare. I still have dreams, but I'm like you, Pia. I feel like I've been somewhere. Like I'll come back with scratches and I'm like, did my cat mess with me in the middle of the night? She doesn't. So like that wouldn't be it. Or I'll come back with bruises.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's parallel stuff. We are doing some good work somewhere.
Somewhere. Somewhere in the universe, right?
Colin and I have this theory that if we really knew exactly where we were, we wouldn't want to be here. We want to be there continuing whatever service we're providing. So that's why we can't quite put together where we're going. That's our theory.
Actually, that's a bingo moment for me because the guy I was telling you about that I talked about, no dreams, he said, I don't know whether you have dreams, but if you remembered them, you wouldn't want to be here anymore. So that's a very interesting thing that Pia just brought up.
Yeah. It's just fascinating, the dream world, because there's so many different symbols for so many different things. And, you know, what's a symbol for you? There's universal symbols, of course, like water. That's a universal symbol for emotions and things like that. But, you know, for different people, different symbols show up. So it's always hard, I think, to just like key in. And some astrological transits also trigger more of an active dream life. And, you know, right now we have lots of planets sitting in Pisces, at least until next week. And Pisces is the sign of dreams. And it's a possibility that that's amped up for a lot of people, right? The dream world becoming more activated. I have an 18-year-old grandson who's started astral projecting. Or at least that's what he calls it. He doesn't know exactly for sure what it is, but he got up the other morning, woke up, and said to himself, I wonder if I could astral project. I'm not sure those are the words he used. So he said he just closed his eyes and he got comfortable. And next thing he knew, he was walking down the stairs from his bedroom down into the downstairs part of the house where my daughter, who works at home, was working. And he said he walked right by her, saw exactly what she was wearing, hung out in the doorway watching her work, went to the microwave in the kitchen because it was he was going to see if he could open or close things, opens up the microwave, closes the microwave, walks back past his mom, goes up to his room and lays back down or goes back to his body, I guess you would say. And then wakes up and comes down and tells his mom exactly what happened, what she was wearing, what time it was, what she was doing, what she was saying. And I'm like, what? What?
How old is he, Jeff?
18. He turned 18 in January. So he's, you know, an adult, but living at home, still in high school. I mean, he's finishing up his high school years. It's just amazing to me. And he's a Capricorn. He's not particularly, I mean, obviously he has a grandma who's an astrologer. I mean, come on, you can't help but have some of the stuff going on. He just seems like so grounded, and this doesn't seem like something, a flight of fancy that he would create. So I have to believe him. It was a true thing. I mean, but like spontaneously out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think that's happening to more and more people, regardless of our ages. I think those extended, deeper spiritual experiences are happening to us. I think it's all part of the change of what humanity's going through. We are evolving, and experiences like this are, to me, proof of that.
But I would change one word of what you just said. Okay. I don't think they're happening to us. I think they're happening with us.
Well, sure.
Because they happen to those of us who are awake and aware of the true reality. Mm-hmm. And I think this opportunity is something that happens that we're participating with because of our desire to create a better world.
It's just, it's amazing to me that young of a person, though, mm-hmm. would have that presence of mind to realize I'm not in a dream, that I'm directing my actions. I'm purposefully going downstairs. I am purposefully, he said he's 6'3", so he can reach the door jam. And he's hanging on the door jam, swinging, he said, trying to get his mom's attention. And I said to my daughter, did you feel anything yourself? I mean, did you sense that something was going on? And she said, no, she was really busy. You know, she takes calls from doctors that are having trouble with informatics. She's like, I was busy. She said, I did hear something kind of weird, you know, like the microwave, but it didn't occur to her. I said, what about the dogs? Because the dogs are always right next to her. She said, they're always moving around and alerting on something. So she didn't mm-hmm. think anything odd was going on. And I was like, that is so amazing to me. But, you know, I wonder, the audience out there probably have, you know, strange experiences like this going on. And the other thing that I'm noticing a lot, I can only really gauge by my own family or my friends or what I'm experiencing. And what I have been experiencing is this sort of deep diving, self-reflection, getting to the bottom of something. Like I feel this urgency almost to get clear of all of my, you know what, you know, any of my shadows, any of my whatever. Almost like a compulsion. It has been such a weird couple of weeks for me this way. And I don't know if other people are having that experience, but it's almost like, you know, get on it, Janet, get on it, get moving.
Yep.
We understand that. I started in December doing a clearing process that was deeper and broader than all the work that I've done before. And mine included parallel life stuff. I could look back at something that came up in this life and look at parallel lives that I remember and go, oh, that's how that's linked. Oh, I see how that's linked. So that kind of, it's not just the clearing, it's also the connectivity of what we're doing here and this one now.
It's helping us understand that we're fitting more together of other experiences for those who either believe or understand parallel lives, that we all have them, that we're fitting together little pieces that are giving us more information about who we are and why we're here. So this makes sense. And this is a great jumping off point or prelude to talking about collective shadow cycles, because that's exactly what you're bringing up right now.
So Janet, do your listeners know what causes the collective shadow cycle, or do I need to give them a little bit of a basis of that?
No, I think you need to give us a basis for that, even though I'm sure we talked about it before, but let's get a basis for that. And then maybe how do we handle it? Because now it looks to me like the collective shadow cycle doesn't start in March, it starts April 13th.
On illuminating April 3rd through April 22nd.
April 3rd. You're absolutely right. That is gray.
They always start on four being the universal number to look at your foundation, and being the start of earth energies, which is about water. Go into the water of who you are. Look at the foundations you're creating. So they always start on four being, and they always end on 10 enlightening, because enlightening is what you're supposed to reach after you finish the shadow. And
you're supposed to?
to reach some sort of enlightening, an aha moment, an idea, something is cleared, something doesn't have to be enlightened, some something comes through. And the 10 is the energy of, you have a choice here in duality. It can either, 10 can represent extreme challenge, or 10 can represent manifestation, because you've learned how to work with the challenges. So they always start on a 4 being and end on a 10 in lightning. Shadow cycles are based on the cycles of Venus around the sun. They happen every 260 days. And in the Pleiadian Earth energy system, Venus is a guiding light for all the energies that come in that we work with, because Venus is the planet of duality, morning star, evening star. So we have two different perspectives to work with Venus's guidance all the time. Every person has a personal shadow cycle that happens every 60 days in the Venus loop. But collectively together, Venus moves into this pattern of 4 being, 10 enlightening every 260 days. In our Gregorian system, that's going to happen sometimes in April, sometimes December. It'll be a different month, different Western astrological influences going on. But it always will be on the energy of the universal energy, 4, foundation, and the earth energy, being. Start looking at your water, your emotions, the water that makes you human, the water where you live. All of that's your starting point. And the end point is, are you working with your challenges? Have you learned how to manifest what you need? Because you've been working to get towards enlightenment. What did you get in light and this shadow cycle? Unfortunately, humanity has not done a very good job with that.
Well, we're slow learners.
Well, this particular shadow cycle coming in 2024 in April is going to be a Lollapalooza doozy of an opportunity to go beyond our challenges and to manifest.
Tell us why.
Well, first of all, because it is happening during Mercury retrograde. So it gives us double the chance of going inward and looking at what a retrograde gives us a chance to look at. So it's happening during Mercury retrograde. Secondarily, it's happening during the time of the collective shadow cycle. We have a major solar eclipse. And then something that you can talk more about, the north node of Chiron moving into Aries. So all of our wounds coming to the surface, the north node pulling them out for us to take action and become who we truly are. So this shadow cycle, it's going to be big, but it's offering us huge potential to change.
What I was going to say is, shadow cycles can be seen as a complete challenging time that we're challenged with our deepest personal wounds, or things that we haven't wanted to look at, things we didn't want to really face.
Physical problems.
Anything, relationships, physical problems.
Family, jobs.
Everything. And the interesting thing about this year is, because it's going to happen within the huge solar eclipse on April 8th.
Well, the solar eclipse happens within the shadow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So a new beginning kind of couched in with this shadowy period of time, this unconsciousness.
Exactly. Yep.
So it is a potent, potent time for us to do the most work that we're capable of doing, truly looking at what needs to be changed, what needs to be, I guess, bringing the courage up to really look into ourselves and really do the deep work. And you said something when we began our conversation that you've been feeling like you need to clean things up, or you need to be getting things in order.
Yeah.
This is the perfect time coming up. And maybe we're feeling the beginnings of it. Nothing ever happens exactly on a Gregorian date. That just isn't possible. Things influence us days or weeks before and after changes. I mean, that's just the way it is. Yeah. So I think many of us are feeling this already coming forward, and we're already in that environment to really begin the work.
But interestingly, the solar eclipse is coming on April 8th, Gregorian, but that energy, besides being a new moon, which we all know is a chance for new beginnings, it's on 9, which brings harmony, and it's on transcending. And it's the 6th day of the collective shadow cycle, and 6 brings the energy of flow. So we have the opportunity to think about all these different aspects of what's going on. Mercury retrograde, stop, slow down, and look at what's not working. Okay, go deeply into the quiet. The eclipse, everything that the eclipse stands for, the north node of Chiron, what do we need to heal? And the earth energy transcending, what do we need to transcend to find that universal place of harmony? So that is a really particularly potent day within the total collective shadow cycle. I think on April the 8th, we should all be spending a moment or the day or whatever, somewhere in the quiet, just focusing on what are the waters of the emotions telling us and how can we treat them differently? What patterns can we break? How can we do things in a different way?
Yeah. Well, and the eclipse is not in water, it's in fire.
Right.
It's an Aries, a very powerful Aries sort of eclipse pattern that also offers up the opportunity for a new beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, we're only 8 days away from the equinox at that point. I mean, like we've just basically moved into it. So we're just 8 days. It's a little further than that, but we're just starting in with this energy of a new year based on the astrological signatures. So it does, you know, seem to be hopeful,
mm-hmm.
activated, and
yes.
maybe even a little bit, you know, challenging for some of us as we're going through these massive changes. I mean, obviously the changes have to start with us. Otherwise, yes. there's not going to be change in the collective.
And remember when you pointed out that the eclipse is a fire eclipse and that we are water beings, remember that fire and water make steam.
Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. which can be put to work and used for good, or it can burn. either way you look at it, it's highly energized. That's,
yes.
it is. That's the best analogy I can think of right now, explaining duality, because we're bringing two different essences together and they're alchemically creating the possibility for something else.
Yeah, exactly. I want to go through some of the comments before we go further here. Going back to the beginning, because everybody's chatting. Christine Buckingham, good morning, Tom. Hello to you, J-Lo, hello. J-Lo says she's had the same thing where she does not dream. So you're not alone in that. And she's a Taurus. So another earth sign, right? Earth signs. Do you guys have issues with dreams? I don't know. Tom says, I'm not in the personal shadow period until next week. I've been extremely judgmental and bitchy and crap sleep, i.e. not much sleep. I basically think there's a question there, but it was a few comments down. Let me find it. My personal shadow period ends a couple of days before the collective shadow period. Why am I being challenged a week before my personal challenge period, my personal shadow period?
Can I address that one right now?
Yes.
Please be thankful that you're being challenged before the collective shadow cycle. That is a gift. Cullen has the benefit of always experiencing a personal shadow cycle within a collective shadow cycle.
Excuse me, that could also be a challenge.
Yes, it is absolutely a challenge. That's why I started this by saying, be glad your personal shadow cycle comes before the collective.
Yeah, I think what he's saying is, why is he being challenged a week before his personal shadow period begins?
Because, as I said earlier, things don't really happen exactly on a dime.
And also
they begin energetically smoothly a little bit before sometimes.
And also remember that our personal shadow cycles happen every 60 days and the collective is every 260 days. So there's got to be a discrepancy of who's having one lined up exactly with the collective shadow cycle or the week before, or the week after, or during it. It's going to be different for each person. But if you happen to be one of those gifted, challenged people who has your personal cycle in the middle of a collective shadow cycle, anything during that time and you'll be okay. Just do your personal work.
When we first started developing this system, this Pleiadian astrological system, and I realized that my personal and the collective were simultaneous for me, I thought, oh no, this is going to be really hard. I mean, now that I know this, although it's been occurring all my life, but I didn't realize it, I pretty quickly understood that it's an extra bonus for me. It's really not a detriment, because it gives me more challenge to do more work. It gives me more latitude to actually be able to create a deeper, bigger dive into who I am and how I fit into the collective at the same time. So actually, I think people like me, and I'm obviously not the only one around the world, but people who have both of their shadow cycles during the collective, their personal, it's actually a good thing, because it makes for a bigger ability to move forward.
And you have more than one personal shadow cycle, so it's real easy to compare for those of you who have one within the collective shadow cycle, like Cullen. It's real easy to compare the opportunities within that shadow cycle and the challenges that come up to the opportunities and challenges that come up in your other shadow cycles. You can navigate the intensity of it and know what to expect to experience in the next one, so you know how to work it.
Okay, so let me get something clear. We personally have a collective shadow period every 60 days.
Yes. Right.
So mm-hmm. Essentially four times in a year,
right,
we're going into the shadow as an individual, but there's only one shadow period for the collective?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
60 days. So that means that sometimes in a Gregorian year, some years we have one collective shadow cycle and some years we have two in a year.
Okay. And then Cullen, that means only once a year you are lined up with the collective shadow, and then you have this separate one.
Yes.
Periodically.
Yes.
Now, yes. What I'm guessing some of the people out there might be thinking is, how do they figure out when their collective shadow period is?
Well, the collective shadow cycle is the same.
Their personal one, excuse me.
That comes when you do a personal chart. When you get a chart, there's a full explanation of what the shadow cycles are for the next year to year and a half, along with themes that come along with what the energy is of that particular time for each person. So that comes along with doing an in-depth chart to look at, what is my energy trying to transcend into? What is my karmic pattern here that I'm trying to break? What are my gifts? How do I deal with my personal shadows? And then once you've had a personal chart done, which comes with a consultation so you can ask questions. After that, if you want to do going into it further down the road, you have a choice. You can either have me do a collective shadow cycle chart for you ongoing every year, or I can teach you in your consultation how to do it for yourself. Either way.
Gotcha. So everybody has a birthday, right? A spiritual birthday or a Pleiadian birth date. And that is also attached to a direction. So I think mine is a west. Does that mean that my shadow cycles all take place in the west, or do they go through the different directions?
No, they go through, actually you go through four different levels of consciousness, and you also go through different directions. The energy that you're directed to in the west has to do with your earth energy, being a western energy. But shadow cycles take you through individual consciousness, community consciousness, global consciousness, and universal consciousness. So you get different perspectives of the problems and challenges you face in an eastern, western, northern, southern direction. So each person has a theme of four different ones. They'll have the individual, community, global, and universal. Everybody will have one of each. But some of them will be focused more on the east, some will be focused more on the west, the north, the south. They will rotate. They won't always be exactly the same. They'll rotate, but there's an emphasis on which ones are the most important for you to work with.
So it's a go ahead. Well, it's a comprehensive system, because all of those elements are in play. So it's not as though we just relive the same experience of thinking, well, I should work on this aspect of myself all the time. It's a rotating, changing atmosphere or environment. And that's a wonderful thing, because we then can connect with so many different parts of of ourselves.
So let me explain the spiritual birthday a little more clearly also.
Okay.
So you go through, I'm just going to start with the individual. Not everybody in every year starts with an individual. Some might start with universal or community, but whatever you start, you'll go through individual, community, global, and universal. When you have gone through all four of those on the fourth shadow cycle, which is 260 days for you personally, at the end of that shadow cycle is your spiritual birthday, because you've worked through your shadows for 260 days at varying levels from different directions and different attitudes of consciousness. So that's why you have a spiritual birthday, and it will vary.
Wow. So now I'm guessing that maybe some of the shadow cycles might feel a little more familiar, a little less strenuous than others, because you might have an affinity with that energy. Mm-hmm. Like in astrology, like elements, they get along, right? So like earth and water are sort of companionable, and fire and air are companionable. So they, you know, they're not exactly like best friends, but they see each other's point of view kind of thing, if I can anthropomorphize element. Does that happen in Pleiadian earth astrology as well?
It does, but there's a caveat to that, and that is familiar does all not always mean comfortable. Oftentimes in the shadow cycles, what is most familiar is, why do my family always do this to me? Or why does my boss pick on me? Or why does my car always break down on Tuesday? You know, it can be anything that is familiar, but it's a challenge that needs to be worked through. So familiarity, yes. And the familiarity can be less strenuous, more elemental, as you just said, more aligned. Or it can be pushing you, going, this familiarity is a pattern you need to break. It can go either way.
Pulling you in opposite directions. Yeah. I mean, in opposition kind of thing.
Yes.
It can go either way. Depends on the individual person and their karmic patterns.
That makes sense. Now let's talk about those different levels that you were talking about. Community, global.
Okay. So individual consciousness is
individual.
The place,
yeah.
Individual consciousness and duality is the place where you either are very, very focused on what you want, what you need, or you're in there looking at individual creative ideas that you could take out to the world. It can go either way. It can be a very highly evolved individual consciousness where you're brainstorming and coming up with things nobody else has thought about, or it can be a place where you're stuck because all you can see is your own viewpoint. That's the individual level. Community level, people who go through the community shadow cycle generally are drawn towards, I want to be part of something. And that can go two ways too. It can be, how can I be of service to what I call my community, which could be family, literal community. It can be all kinds of things, workplace, or it can be, how come I don't fit in? What's wrong with me? I'm going to hide myself because my community didn't like me. That can be the two levels of community. Global is usually more, why are they polluting our oceans? What's wrong with the world? What can I do to make this right? What can I fight with this? Or it can be, how can I bring more light into the world through the service I offer? But it's global focus because you're seeing yourself as a citizen of the world. And then universal is the place where it's a little bit like Neptune. You can be very, very receptive of incoming higher vibrational ideas, thoughts, images that are cosmically connected, or it can be I'm off in la la land because I have all these idealistic dreams and I don't really want to do the work. So that's the duality of the four different cycles.
No feet on the ground.
Right. And how that plays out again is individual, depending on the person's earth energy and their universal energy and their karmic patterns.
So fascinating.
I love this stuff because every time I work with somebody, I learn something new. Every single time somebody works with me, they bring me a new gift. They bring me something that I can then add and pass on to the next person I work with, because we are all individual, we are all unique, and we all handle our challenges and our gifts in a different way.
It is pretty amazing. And I first learned Mayan astrology years ago, and I was flabbergasted by how that worked. And then, you know, seeing the Pleiadian calendar, I now understand what the Mayans were doing, where they got it kind of thing. And it's still so familiar, right? I mean, and I think in some ways it's maybe simpler than some of the other astrological systems. But, you know, we like to go deep and we like to know more and more about ourselves and that type of thing. And one of the things I just noticed is that Sunday, the 17th on the Gregorian calendar is 13 planting. Mm-hmm. And I find that fascinating because that's the day the sun comes into a conjunction with Neptune, a day for anything but planting, it would seem. Like this would have to be a conscious choice of planting, because the sun and Neptune together, I mean, the sun is obviously vital force energy, and Neptune, of course, you know, spirit, ether, not pin downable, that kind of thing. So tell us about 13 planting. So maybe we can get an idea about how we can bring things into.
The way I would interpret that is 13 is the energy of integration. So if it's on planting day, I would say focus upon what are you integrating in your life that you want to intentionally plant into your future, because you're integrating. The energy is there to integrate whatever you've worked through, whatever you've learned, whatever you've been going through in the last 13 days, and then further back, of course, whatever else you've been working on long term. And when you work on the integration, you have the opportunity to plant something new through your intentional desires, thoughts, creative abilities. That's the planting. It's not at a physical level where you get out and work. It's not at the level where you're actually talking to people or doing the work or doing the project. It's at the intentional level where you intend, this is what I intend for my future based upon what I've integrated from all I've learned.
Interesting. Interesting. Because, you know, every time the sun hits a planet in a conjunction, it starts a whole new cycle of connection to that planet. So once a year, he comes into the conjunction with Neptune and starts that cycle of energizing, if you will, our spiritual connection, our connection to the divine, our connection to confusion and to the unseen realm. So it's kind of interesting to think about that. And then the very next day, the 18th of March, is the day that Mercury moves into the shadow period. And that's a one moving. So what's that next 13-day period going to be all about?
Well, one always sets the tone for the whole 13 days. So that means moving energy is going to be about, this is a little harsh, but I think it summarizes everything pretty clearly. Moving energy is always about the choice between the highest possibility and the lowest possibility. It's always vacillating and moving up and down between the two. So that means that we'll have 13 days of duality at its finest. And we have to choose over and over and over again, no matter what the day energy is, remember that that moving energy is at play. And we have the choice to be either on the higher vibrational response to what's going on and what we're being presented, or to react in our lower vibrational habits and patterns.
It's an interesting combination of moving from 13 planting to the very next change. One,
moving
because we've planted what Pia just explained as our intention. And then guess what? We get to move into it. So it's actually like a divinely planned situation. We plant the ideas, we plant the intentions, and then the very next energetic change for the next 13 days is the opportunity to move into it.
And you'll notice, Janet, that halfway through that 13-day period on the 25th, we have the lunar eclipse, a full moon, and the energy is 8, which is connection for the universal energy, and the day energy is choosing. So on that particular day, the choices will be really potently powerful. So it's a good day to pay attention to, what am I choosing? How am I dealing with everything?
Right. Because the thing about choosing is that it's a selection and deselection process.
Yes.
And if you're choosing, let's say you're choosing peace, then you're deselecting war or upset or anger. If you're selecting abundance, then you're deselecting lack or scarcity. So it's a duality for sure, because if you're choosing something, then you're deselecting, or you're selecting something, you're deselecting something else. So it's yes. really interesting.
And the energy of the universal energy of eight coming during this period is very auspicious, because eight is all about connection. Mm-hmm. It's about connection, abundance, everything that's in that realm of where what you do affects everything and everything else, everybody and everything else. So that eight energy, it, combined with the choosing energy in a lunar eclipse, is like, make your choices count.
Make your choices count. Now let's roll back in time a little bit to the 20th. Well, it's forward in time from where we're sitting, but backwards from what we were talking about, to the spring equinox or fall equinox, if you're listening to us from below the equator. That falls on 3 remembering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, we have these markers, it seems like, in that week. The one moving, then 3 remembering gets kind of, you know, imprinted upon us, and then 8 choosing. So tell us about 3 remembering.
Well, 3 is the universal energy of creativity. There's a saying about there being the power of 3. When 3 of anything come together, it's more potent. So 3 is a very creative energy to bring forth something in a higher way. And the energy of remembering is what we want to bring forth. We want to remember the power of who we are. We are divine mm-hmm. sparks of light. We are capable of making choices and moving to the higher vibrational choice that's possible. And we can do that through creatively deselecting things that are no longer working and actively selecting things that we want to choose going forward, that we want to make work, by remembering the larger picture of who we are, instead of seeing only our 3D tiny selves, which involve ego, personality, destructive patterns, and some good stuff too, but a lot of stuff we have to work with.
It's about really utilizing consciousness, because if we make better choices, we create more consciousness. Mm-hmm. And that has absolutely everything to do with relationship, and everything is related to everything else. So yep. what Pia is saying is it's a really, really good time to hone our consciousness mm-hmm. through awareness of who we are, what we're choosing to do, what we're choosing to be. It really does give us a chance to move forward, to be a better person.
Interesting that there's these 3 punctuation points, 3, and you were just talking about 3. Mm-hmm. So it just feels to me like this is kind of a magical time, even if it can be a little bit disruptive, maybe for some people. It feels, you know, pretty magical. And then all of that sort of the lead in for the shadow period that begins just that following week and a half.
Well, Janet, when you said it feels magical, but it can be disruptive.
Yeah.
I am reminded of the idea that chaos brings forth new things. That we,
right. You know,
birth is very chaotic. And birth is one of the most magical things there is on this planet, because it brings forth new life. So if we want to look at the chaos or the possible disruption that we're going through as a magical time, then we're adding the higher movement energy of let's move into something that works better. I think that's a really good way to see it.
And right now, we're seeing evidence of so many things that are chaotically falling apart. Mm-hmm. We're seeing social things, financial things, everything is so chaotic, but that chaos brings the change that we need. What we want to see, when people talk about creating a new earth or creating a new society, the only way that's going to work is to stop what doesn't work. And that's where chaos, yep, that's where chaos comes in really handy, because we have to have anything that doesn't work fall apart to make room for what we are going to create that is a better reality. So it's a great ratio.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me, because this week that we're in in a human design sense, is the week of chaos. Yeah, the sun is sitting at the gate 36, which is called turmoil or turbulence or crisis or chaos. I mean, you choose the word. That's what we're in and have been since the 13th. So in the Pleiadian calendar, we went into that 9 light enlightening. So like, you know, to me, that's like turn the lights on. And we are in that through 13 planting. Mm-hmm. So it seems like this is an intense period of time anyway. And the earth in that scenario, she's the earth always sort of raises up the challenge to us living on the planet as to how we, if we want to get to the highest and best use of this chaotic energy, which is about change, rewriting the human story, right? Rather than our experiences being labeled as that sucked. rewriting the labels and said, yeah, you know, World War II wasn't a good thing, but look at all the technology that, whatever, the story can change based on how, you know, we are responding to that story. So if we change the story, we change the whole, it's like we always talk about history, like whoever the victor is the one that writes the story. Mm-hmm. But what if we rewrote the stories? That's the option that we have, that, you know, turbulence and chaos, as you said, Colin, has a purpose, and that is to help us birth the new, to go through that selection deselection process. So if we rewrite the story about change and the disruption in the patterns and chaos and all of that to being, you know, the excitement that comes after when something new is birthed, think about the impact on people, right?
Absolutely.
Writing that story. Yeah. Now, the earth, though, is in a gate that we think of as impact. So if we want to handle chaos, then we have to work through the impact that those changes have on us.
Absolutely. And that helps us understand that we have to constantly be in a position of adjustment. Humans don't like change. We don't feel comfortable if things are changing all the time. It's very distracting. It's very disturbing for some people. Mm-hmm. But if we can change that philosophy or that belief system into, let's just be in a sense of adjustment all the time. If we're adjusting constantly, big changes won't be so big for us, because we will be moving in a different direction all of the time. And I think that could ease the pain of big things happening that just take us by total surprise. If we make adjustments, and I mean little tiny adjustments, doing things differently every day instead of doing the same old routine.
Yep.
How we do what we do. The mundane chores, the mundane activities that everybody has to deal with every day, every week. If we change up that way of doing things, it allows us to be more flexible. It allows us to be more able to embrace change. Even if the changes are hard, we won't be in that stuck place of, ooh, I don't want any change, if we make those little adjustments on an everyday basis.
I'm going to laugh here because I have to remember. I have to remember you're commenting one time on noticing my lifelong habit of, I never put my jeans on the same way. I never get dressed in the same order. Sometimes I do socks. I do the top first. I never get dressed in the same order. And it's been that way all my life. I think intrinsically, I have been a breaker of patterns for as long as I can remember.
And it really, truly does make a difference. I mean, anybody can do. I mean, when I shave in the morning, instead of stroking my face with the razor exactly the same way in the same direction, if I just think about it and go, well, maybe I should start on the other side, or maybe I should do something a little bit different with the razor, it might ripple out and make the next thing I do 10 minutes later a different possibility.
Yeah, it's good to break patterns, right? To mm-hmm. to upset the way that you always do things. It mm-hmm. has a cathartic effect, right? It can shake you, you know, from your very core. And interestingly, this energy that is dominant this week of chaos and restlessness and all of that impact are all placed on what is called the solar plexus center in our human design, which is the center for emotional energy. And not feelings like I feel sad, bad, or whatever, but these big emotional energies. And, you know, we're in the midst of a solar plexus mutation anyway, humanity-wise. And that mutation is causing us to look at emotion in a new way, or to understand emotion in a new way, to use emotion rather than as a reactive tool to let people know how we feel about what you've said or done. It's more about recalibrating our own selves to our hearts. And that means that our emotions and the restlessness, the chaos, and so forth that can come up this week are about recalibrating, move you back in alignment to your truth or to your authentic self. Mm-hmm. And that's a hard thing because we sit in a conditioning field, mm-hmm. right? We're all conditioned to believe certain things, to, you know, react in certain ways to certain stimulus, right? So like if someone dies, are we not supposed to be sad and cry and have, you know, a problem? You see it on crime shows all the time when the person who is left behind doesn't act like they should, mm-hmm. then they're suspect, right? you weren't very emotional about, you know, your husband being killed, so it must be you that did it. And that's also got to change, right? This bigger idea of the conditioning that we've been in mm-hmm. as to how we are meant to use our emotional energy. And that's a big deal in this kind of a week, because if the chaotic thing happens, how do you respond?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Or do you react?
Mm-hmm.
Big deal, right? It's a big thing. So that energy is with us until the 17th. So Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then changes to, I love the next week after that. Every time we come to a solstice or an equinox week, we go into the energy of the love of spirit or physical world or compassion or humanity. And that is coming up next week, right? Because we're going into the equinox window. So the energy, as far as human design is concerned, goes into a much more loving space, mm-hmm. or at least offers us the opportunity to move into a much more loving space. Being, you know, that week, I think Pia has a lot to do with the eight. I always think of the eight as the crossroads between the divine human and the physical human, right? The human. Mm-hmm. Body human, yep. and the divine human coming all together at the heart, right? That's where the eight crosses, mm-hmm. right in the heart, if you look of it as a body. And that particular week really gives us an opportunity to be the embodiment of love.
That is a great way of describing spirit into matter.
Yeah. Spirit into matter. Or we are spirit in matter, or we are matter in spirit. I mean, you can work it either way. It works. there was something else I was just thinking about with that. I lost it. But it is a pretty good explanation, the eight energy with that embodiment. I think I saw a question. A fun exercise, Tom says, I learned many decades ago. Do your usual routines, for example, shaving, brushing teeth, with your non-dominant hand. Mm-hmm. Wow. Don't mm-hmm. cut your throat, however. If you're shaving with your left hand if you're right-handed, or right hand if you're left-handed. Oh, that's fun. That's a good idea, Tom, except be careful with a knife and be careful with shavers. We were instructed to do it for a whole day. That's kind of fun. It's funny because some days I'll just choose to use my left hand more than my right hand. Like mm-hmm. I'll consciously pick up my pen with my left hand. I cannot really write legibly with it, but I could write if I had to. You just might not understand what I wrote, but I'm really good at eating with either hand. Like I could operate the fork and the knife and everything with my left hand just as easily as I can with my right hand. So, you know, it wouldn't be, I wouldn't want to shave with my wrong hand though. That could be difficult. Okay, we have just a few more minutes left, and I thought maybe another way to end our show today would be to talk about, from the perspective of LARCMA and the Pleiadians, what do they see as happening? What's their thing about Earth at this moment, or the universe at this moment?
They see us being at a point where we have to make some pretty big decisions, either to address what they call the Great Split. The split between people who are aligning with artificial intelligence and moving away from nature, and the biological humans who are more in attunement with who they are as cosmic and earth beings. And they see that one of the biggest choices that we have to make right now is to wake up and see what we're choosing, because all this stuff that's being pushed on us about AI is not really where we're intended to go for conscious evolution. You want to add to that?
Well, they're also talking about that humanity has never experienced the energies that are coming to Earth at this time. Mm-hmm. We've never as a species had so much solar radiation. We've never had so much solar plasma. We've never had so much energetic information coming to us. And
opportunity.
It's allowing us to consciously change. It's allowing us to be different, and this is connected to what we've been talking about today. It's allowing us to step away from things that don't work and create new things. And what they're telling us and the public lately is, in the next few months, in this year, and then coming into 2025, we will be seeing things that we never would have guessed that were possible. New inventions, new technology, creating communities in a much more positive way. People have tried to create community for years, intentional community, ashrams. It hasn't worked very well because ego and other things have gotten in the way. What they're telling us now is that we're surpassing our egos. We're surpassing karma. And we're getting to the point where we're refining ourselves to the point where we can be and create things that have never, ever been available on this planet for humanity.
Even so, from Atlantean times, like we've surpassed that, or will surpass that?
Beyond anything we've experienced in all of the civilizations that we have produced and lost over the entire human history, our species. So they're telling us that we can really make a huge change in how we live and how we get along, how we can develop relationship in a different way. And what they're speaking about relationship is they mean nations, stopping the tribal misunderstanding that my tribe's better than your tribe. They're saying that we can step away from that, and that we can actually create a much more harmonious world.
So yeah, but doesn't it feel like a heavy responsibility on us, though?
Well, it does in one sense, but in another sense, so many people have been waiting for this. So many people have been trying to create this for a long time. There have always been factions. In every epoch, in every era, there have always been free thinkers or people who move against the grain of what they're told, the status quo. And I think what they're saying is there are more people now willing to step forward and actually embrace these ideas of universality, of egalitarianism, of stopping war, stopping poverty, stopping crime. And I think they're telling us that we're moving into this ability, this new adventure. And I find that very hopeful, and I find that very, very positive.
Yeah. Now, This is off the wall question, but is this all in preparation to move humanity into the galactic?
I think it's our choice. I think we're being offered the preparations if we choose to take advantage of it to help us become true cosmic citizens. But that does not mean that we're going to make that choice, because we are connected and we have to figure out, are we going to be connected to the cosmic rules of the universe, or are we going to cling to the governmental and whatever rules rule us here on this planet? All the tribalism stuff Cullen was talking about, we're at a choice point. So yes, huge, tremendous opportunity to move us into the galactic. And I think that's our destiny, but they're not going to give it to us. We have to earn it.
And when you interjected the term response, a huge responsibility, it is indeed a huge responsibility. Mm-hmm. And that's why standing up and saying no to what we know in our hearts is not right. Runaway technology, runaway scientific experiments, things like that, and or saying yes to better technology, better relationships, it is our choice. It's always our choice. The whole idea of us being rescued by somebody, whether it's God or extraterrestrials or whatever, is never going to happen. We have to take personal responsibility and collective responsibility to either clean up or fix whatever we've created that hasn't worked very well.
It's a pretty amazing job we have ahead of us.
It is.
And isn't it wonderful that we have human design, Western astrology, Pleiadian earth energy astrology to show us how to do this work? We have all these tools to look at it from multiple perspectives that interweave with each other so beautifully and smoothly. It's great.
It is. So next month, we meet on the, looks like the 19th of April. Yes. I'd love to take a view of what's happening galactically. Like, what are if you have a perspective, or if LARCMA has given you a perspective on that, what could we aspire to if we were to manage to move through these times and become galactic? I would love us to have a conversation about that.
Great stimulating conversation.
Yeah, I think that would be wonderful.
Should be fun. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Pia and Cullen, thank you so much for being here this morning. I hope you all have a wonderful weekend. I will see you on Monday when we get to talk about Mercury moving into the shadow, the spring equinox, and what does that do, setting the tone for the astrological year, and also Mars taking a dip into Pisces later in the week next week. We'll talk all about that on Monday. Take care, everybody. Bye, Pia. Bye, Cullen.
Bye-bye for now.
Do you wish you could better understand yourself and what is going on in the world? Well, grab your cup of coffee or tea and join the podcast Living Astrology with Janet Hickox for Astrology, Human Design, and Jean Key's Wisdom. Mondays and Fridays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Podcasts are available on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, and your other favorite outlets.